Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
The Nikki Glaser
Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Thursday, and it is actually Thursday right now when I'm recording this.
Whoa.
With Anya Marina, Brian Frangie, and Noah, whose last name I always struggle with, Avior.
Yeah, that's good. You got it.
Avior. Yeah, that's the way. That's the way.
Brian Frangie and Los Angie, as Kirsten suggested.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. I like that a lot. Yeah. We actually had a flight attendant. I almost said stewardess. We almost had a flight attendant on the way to New York yesterday. And Hala, my friend Hala, who's a listener to the show, big fan, been on the show before. She and I both freaked out because our flight attendant, they were like, your flight attendant, Franchi.
What?
Franchee. Franchi.
Wow. Where
we were both
she
like,
from?
Oh, didn't ask. Was asleep by the time she came around.
You know,
missed
I learned
out on that
recently
Diet
that, there's a man named, something Frangie who lives in New York. And I was like, who is this guy? My brother investigated. And it turns out he's my long lost great cousin.
Yeah, well, he wasn't lost though.
Well,
he's long.
He found himself long ago
so
in the desert.
Any Frangie is probably related to you.
There's, yeah. Well, I do know this, that Frangie, I don't know if I said this before, but Frangie is Syrian for foreigner.
Oh.
It's a Syrian word that means foreigner.
So are you a Syrian?
So it must be that one of my ancestors, the OG, Frangie, went to Ellis Island and they were like, what's your last name? And then he said in his native language, I am a foreigner. And boom, that's my last name forever.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's how the band Foreigner got their name.
Yeah.
You think that's how it went? You think they said, I'm a foreigner? And then the person in the U.S. said, ah, Frangie? Or you mean in Syria?
Like
Ellis
Island.
They said it in Syria.
At Ellis Island, they were like, they're in a long line of immigrants trying to get into America. And they were like, last name. And they, you know, they wrote down the names on a piece
I
of
see.
Paper. And the person was like, Frangie. And like, what? Frangie. And they're like, okay, Frangie. But all he was saying was, I'm a foreigner, which is kind of a dumb thing to say. If I think of, you know, you know, even no matter what the person said, maybe he thought the person was saying, are you a citizen?
Are you a citizen?
Right.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
But then it's surprising that there isn't more Frangies. You think my whatever great, great, great
yeah,
grandpa, I think, was the dumbest Syrian. He's the only one.
They're all named whatever it means, like I'm hungry and tired.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you say that?
So where's the bathroom?
They're named Where's the Bathroom in Syrian.
Like McConnell or Jones is like Syrian for I haven't eaten for 2 weeks. So yeah, we flew to New York, Hala and I, to see, I got a chance to go see Dave Matthews perform a very intimate concert at Irving Plaza, which I don't know if you know, is like 1200 cap. It's like very small.
Wow. Yes.
And I thought it was going to be the whole band. It was just him. Which
just
is
Dave,
like,
Matthews. No
my
band.
My favorite. I love seeing my favorite artists acoustically. That's like the way I want to see them all. I wish Taylor Swift played her whole concert with her guitar. But and it was incredible. I was supposed to do it. First, they were going to pay me to do it. And then my lawyers caught wind of the deal. And they said, you have a podcast with iHeart and you can't do anything for Sirius. And I was like, OK, I'll kiss $50,000 goodbye to go so that I can't, don't post one thing, which, by the way, I ended up posting anyway because I went to it. I didn't tag Sirius in it, but you can infer. So I ended up, nothing changed. I'm still eligible to go to things and post anything I want, except I just didn't make $50,000. So
yeah.
That would have been nice to get paid to go do that. And they were going to give me money for glam and all this stuff.
Oh,
so
man.
That was a little bit of a heartache. And by the way, iHeart didn't catch wind of this. They probably would have never noticed. Not that I'm ever trying to do anything shady. I didn't even know it would be a conflict of interest. I didn't even think anything of it. I'm like doing the deal with the guy and I'm like, yeah, this sounds great. Let's do it. And then my team was like, hey, this doesn't go well with your contract. And I go, can we change the wording? Because this is, I'm promoting their album. It's not even for Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, it's going to be too much. And I go, okay, well, can I not pay you guys $50,000 this year? Because you just took that from me for calling this thing out that I wouldn't have ever gotten. No one would have noticed.
No.
But it's the right thing to do. And once I realized it was in breach of contract, kind of, obviously, I was not going to try to do anything sneaky.
Of course.
But that's just, I never understand why. I get like when a platform has you, like if I'm doing a show on ABC, I'm not allowed to do shows on any other network. If I were ABC, and this is just me, I would think it's all about like ego for these people of like, we own this talent. I would think if she went over to NBC, she'd probably talk about the show she's on ABC and it would be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Any publicity or this person getting out there is going to lead people to Google them and find out where else to find them, therefore leading to us. But people want to own you.
Any press is good press.
We ran into this all the time when I was a radio DJ, and it was so annoying because these radio stations have these wars. And like, I was in San Diego, there were two alternative rock stations, and if a band came to ours and not the other one, the band would be dead to the other station. It's like, really?
Yes.
Smashing Pumpkins is dead to you now?
Yes.
Because they came to see
they
us?
They do that at comedy clubs. And you know, it's so bad. Like, it's not good for talent. And it's all a game of like people's egos. And I have no ill will towards iHeart. Obviously, they're like the best company to work forever. They've given me everything I ever could want. And they had nothing to do with me not doing this deal. Literally nothing. But it is weird when comedy clubs used to do this. Brian, you know this. If there's two comedy clubs in town and you are an up and coming comic who needs as much stage time as possible to get good at what you do,
mm-hmm.
you need to take every chance. If you work the other club in town, you will get blacklisted from the club. The club you originally work at. And these owners want to like own you. If they really cared about talent and nurturing talent and making you a better comedian, they wouldn't give a fuck if you went across the river and performed at the St. Charles location or whatever. But they only give a fuck because, and by the way, when you're coming up as a comic, no one gives a fuck who you are. You're not a name yet. No one can claim you yet. They do this to open micers who have no following. It reminds me of monogamy too. And which bothers me about like, I own someone and you're mine now and you can't even think about someone else. And it's like, well, I'm a human being and I want to have experiences. And
right.
I just ownership of someone else. It starts to get, it gets in my craw.
It's only hot in the bedroom if you say it.
What do you mean?
I own this.
I own you. Yeah. That's true. It's just, but I don't understand. I've never understood why in television, if I have a show on NBC, why they won't let me go on an ABC show.
I'll tell you why. Human nature is annoyingly such that when you hear something, like the power of suggestion is very strong. So if I'm listening to a radio station at 100.3 and that DJ is like, you know, on 98.5, it's just human nature to flip over to 98.5. So I think that's, you're right, it's ego, but I think another part of it is also the power of suggestion. Like, you just heard something and now it's subconsciously in your mind.
If I have a star on my network that is the star of a show, I want them to be on as many things as possible that would lead, as long as they're good. I understand, like, not wanting your artist to go do shitty things, like to go do a, like, beer chugging contest on another station or something. But if you're just, if my show is your main show and you want to go do other shows, like, it becomes, when you whittle it down, you go, it's not about them feeling like we're missing out on money from this. It's about, we just want to own you.
I can argue on behalf of the giant corporations. Like, I think it's partially branding.
Do.
It's partially branding. Like, when, like, you know how HBO, like, you watch an HBO show and, like, the same actor is in, like, all the HBO shows that come out for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. They associate, just like the major studios back in the 50s, it's like people will associate that star with the network. So, like, if you only appeared on iHeartRadio, then whenever you post on Instagram, just personal stuff, then in the viewer's mind, iHeartRadio will pop up whenever they see you, because now you're associated with that brand.
This
just
is a
like
good point.
Back in the day, anytime that we saw James Gandolfini, we think about HBO.
Right. I get what you're saying. What I'm saying is, if you want the person who is a star on your network to be a bigger star, to have more eyes on your thing, wouldn't you want them to do more things and to expand as a star? But it's not. It's the same thing as, like, I don't want you having fun anywhere else if I can't have fun with you.
Yeah.
HBO, you know, the Stars Network doesn't get to have you either, because we want you. It's about, it's still what
exclusivity.
It bottles down. Yeah, exclusivity kind
like
of grosses
you,
me out, I'm realizing.
When you do
in
a
relationships
show in a city,
and anything.
I think the contract even states, like, you cannot
you
play
come back
a show
to this market
in this city for 6 months or something crazy. Same with
that. Makes sense, because there are people that don't want to come see me again. But if I'm doing this might be the same. I might bring back the same show to town. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But if people don't have a threshold for how much entertainment they watch on TV. They're not going to choose me on a cooking show over me on, you know what I'm, I don't know. You're making sense. I'm kind of making sense.
Well,
I agree
with you.
I'm
just playing devil's advocate, arguing for, you know,
the devil.
Yeah, the devil.
Big corp.
big corp. But I agree with you that, and you know, the future, I think, is in the individual, especially with the dissemination of people's social media identities. And eventually, everyone's becoming their own company. And the days of the old studio is not going to happen anymore. You're right.
Yeah,
but I
agree
unfortunately,
with you. The people who are running these companies, not iHeart, are these people from that era who are just like so set in their ways.
They're so old.
And they're terrified of losing their jobs because there is no stability
no
in
risk.
Corporate America.
I do want to say
you
that
couldn't,
the only...
If I was in their position, I would take no risk.
Yes.
I would get no one looking at me, even though your head is constantly in the guillotine, ready to be chopped off at any moment for nothing you've done. I can't even tell you the amount of times. Anytime I do a general meeting with executives from a network, I go, I'll have to do this again in 3 months because it'll be someone new.
Oh.
If you're listening, I feel so bad for you guys. Like, it must just be terrifying every day to walk into work knowing that you could be on the chopping block.
That's why everything on TV is pre-existing IP now, or a remake of something, or it needs to have a gigantic star attached to it. Like, there's no one takes risks anymore. The artistry in Hollywood has gone down the shitter.
Did you see that jury show? I really wanted to watch the one where they made a fake world around that guy. You would have been a great guy for that, Brian.
You know who was on that? Was that the one on Freeform? Or it went?
I forget. Who knows?
Second cousin.
Michael
Frangie.
Yeah,
I don't know who to associate that brand with. But that was, it was like James Marsden's in it.
Yeah,
and they tricked this guy
episodes.
Into doing jury duty. Was it so fun?
It was good. It was really hyped up. And I was like, eh, I'm okay. I got one episode.
Lisa Gilroy's on that, and I'm obsessed with
her.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't get to her episodes. I really like her. I would love to see her.
Yeah, that felt like an original thing, like a risk being taken. F-Boy Island is somewhat of a risk. I mean, we, you know, definitely did things outside of the box. But again, like, it's, there are zones that you can stay in that you're kind of safe. But it is, I was pitching some show ideas the other day and getting just like, ah, that sounds good. Like, okay, oh, and like honestly, no response to them. But I didn't even know it was a pitch meeting. I just thought it was a general meeting where you just go like, hey, what's up? I'm Nikki. Uh-huh. You're them. Let's like talk in the future if we have any ideas. And they're like, but we want to know what you're thinking about. And I'm like, I'm working on my music career. I don't really care about doing TV right now. So if you have a TV show about that, I would love to do a TV show where I'm like trying to be a musician. And they're like, okay. But that is kind of what I realized. No offense to everyone who's working very hard to keep me in this career. I just want a different career. I mean, I want this. I like podcasting. I like doing stand up. I'm not looking for a sitcom. That honestly seems like... yeah.
Can I just say for the record,
I'm waiting for that call from Taylor. What?
For the record, I think the only giant corporation that takes risks and does it right and is full of brave, smart people is iHeartRadio. I mean, they're the only ones.
I also wanted to say iHeartRadio.
They really are one of the best corporations.
They're not listening.
Well, Ferrell's Big Money Players Network.
The algorithm is, though.
Big Money Players Network, yes. Uh-huh. No, we're great. I have no complaints about iHeart. Anytime someone writes me to go like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a podcast, I'm always like, they have done everything that I've ever wanted and wished. They've given me no notes. They let me be myself. They're amazing. So very grateful. Cause you know, when I was choosing a podcast network, it was between a few. I got a couple.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was a little bit of not a war, but a
bidding skirmish.
A skirmish. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And I chose right. Sometimes you just go, I don't know what I'm doing. We'll just see if it works out. And it definitely worked out. Like, everyone there is so nice. And I'm a little corporate bitch, and we'll be right back after this.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So last night, went to the Dave Matthews concert at Irving Plaza with, I flew my mom out last minute because she was like, I can't go again. You took me to Taylor Swift this weekend. It's too much, Nick. And I'm like, it's, you know, it's a little bit of money for flights, but we stayed at my friend Sarah Lena's house. I didn't have to put her up in a hotel. It's a free ticket to this intimate show. She didn't know it was, she thought it was going to be at a stadium or arena. And then I told her I was we would probably had a 90% chance of meeting Dave after the show. And she was like, I don't know. I shouldn't go. And I just bought her ticket. I was like, well, then you're going. If you're even on the fence, you're going. So she flew out yesterday. New York was apocalyptic.
Oh,
it was.
Oh, yeah, because of the fires.
The fucking air was orange. It was orange and yellow outside. It was so bad. I realized that during COVID, I didn't give a fuck about my mask because yesterday I was wearing an N95 so responsibly, making sure it was tucked over every portion of my face.
Oh,
circumference, totally solid, you know, using that little wiry part at the nose to make sure no air got in. And I realized
with your voice.
During COVID, I didn't give a fuck about my mask. I'm coming out with it now. I made it look like I cared because I wanted to respect those around me, but I was never scared of getting COVID.
Yeah,
I
should have been. You don't believe in germs.
I just was. It's not that I didn't believe in it or I was like, this is bullshit. Everyone doesn't care. I knew it was a big deal. I just can't care about things that I don't care about. You know, like you can't get me to be scared of picking a lollipop off the ground if I don't already care. You can't get me to care about travel and seeing the world if I don't care about it. You can't.
So tell us what made you care about this.
Because it's my voice and because it's like breathing in cancer. So COVID, I'm like, okay, I just. Oh, my God. I was coughing all day long. I didn't feel it like. In my head, people were getting headaches and stuff. I didn't feel it anywhere else. I was just like, my voice was already fucked. We would have recorded this podcast 2 days ago, but I had to go on vocal rest because I sang too much over the weekend at Taylor Swift and stuff and just overused my voice. So yesterday I was trying to do vocal rest and then it was like, it was honestly so scary outside.
Yeah.
People were driving poorly. Like traffic was bad. It looked like everyone was trying to get out of town because the city was on fire. It was really scary. And I know a lot of people in California and such have witnessed this kind of weather, Colorado or like skies. It's terrifying.
Different when you're in a city grid and you can barely see the sky and there's like no fresh air breezing through.
Yeah. Five blocks down, you couldn't see the buildings.
Yeah.
It was that hazy. And this is our future, by the way. Like, this is not like once, it'll be once in a while for a little bit, but I realized COVID was wearing masks inside and the future is wearing masks outside. Mm-hmm. The only time you'll be able to not wear masks is inside in the future.
I have an erroneous belief.
We're all going
belief.
To have personal.
I have an optimistic, erroneous belief about this. I feel like,
really?
Yeah, I feel like with the forest fires, obviously, I believe in climate change and I believe that climate change is exacerbating these forest fires and making them more intense and more frequent. Don't mm-hmm. come at me for that. But I do believe that we have a history of not doing controlled burns, which is something that the Native Americans used to do hundreds of years ago to make sure that our forests didn't get overgrown. And in fact, for decades, we had a policy in most major developed countries of just preserving forests without burning them, without cutting down trees so that they would become overgrown and more likely to burn. And now,
right.
with the climate changing, the fires are more likely to start and they're going to burn bigger. And I think what will happen eventually is the forest will be burned and they will be thinned out, and we are less likely to experience these gigantic forest fires because there won't be
they're all going
to
burn.
There won't be enough trees left to burn.
I don't know. You ever fly across the United States and go, there are so many goddamn trees?
Yeah.
You ever like see, like when you're flying into an area, you go, all there is trees, or you take a drive up the upstate and you go, there's so much forest.
Well, that's we're only like inhabiting like 5% of like North America. It's just some like low number.
Whoa.
So I'm probably wrong. I just want to say I'm probably wrong, but I say that to myself to make myself feel better.
Yeah, once you've destroyed it all, there's nothing left to burn. I do like that theory. There's something interesting there, but
it grows back.
Really depressing yesterday, and I was worried the concert was going to be canceled. And you're right, Anya, it does grow back. I was just thinking about all the birds and raccoons that I was breathing in, the burnt animals that were like, what's happening? And the babies that are freshly born because it's springtime, all the baby animals, like that's where my mind goes. I don't really...
They don't know where to go, like, and a lot of animals have evolved.
Oh, it's awful.
A lot of animals evolved to actually run through fire because
like they're at a Tony Robbins seminar.
Yeah, so they want to experience the Holy Ghost. But they run through fire because historically fires have not been big enough for they could just run straight through them and get to the other side and then be safe.
Oh, right.
But now the fires are so big that they might be evolved to run through the fire. Yeah, and there's no way out.
I just did an interview for this channel in San Diego, like right before this podcast, because they wanted to talk to former San Diegans that were in New York. And the guy asked me for an on-air clip. He goes, so these fires like came from Canada. So what is your feeling about that?
like he wanted you to hate on Canada?
Yeah. And then I don't know why I got infected by the San Diego fucking linguistic curse that you get when you're talking to San Diegans. And I actually said, I mean, it's a bummer. That's all I had. It's a bummer and it's a drag, I think I said.
It is harshing my buzz.
I mean, Canadians are so polite. It's a surprise that they let that smoke come over here.
I know. I was surprised to hear something catastrophic coming from Canada. I was like, really?
Sarah Tallenhosh had the funniest tweet. She's like, what if after the smoke clears, Canada's just gone? Like it disappears in a haze.
I was I was worried that they were going to cancel the show last night because, you know, Dave being able to sing, and he did Howard Stern yesterday too, so I knew he'd been up all, you know, you have to get up at like 3:30 in the morning to like prepare to be on for Howard at that time. Like it's so early. Not that he did hair and makeup or anything, but he even said at the concert, like, I woke up very early so I could be sharp for the interview that happens early. So he got on stage instantly and was like, I'm tired. But anyway, we went to the show, and Hala also went. Laura Holly, my best friend from high school, who notoriously told me in high school that in a disgusted voice, Hala, I know you're listening. I remember she was just like, you think you're going to meet Dave Matthews? What? Oh my God. Yeah, right. And I was like, I will. And I really did.
What was the conversation before that, though?
To meet him. It was like me being like, I'm going to meet him someday. Just being like sure of it, you know, and like talking to my friends about like when I meet him someday, I feel like I'm going to say this or what, you know, it
this
was
is
just
like in
fantasizing.
High school before you did comedy, yeah, before anything.
Yeah. This was like me using that book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind, to like trick my mind into knowing that this was going to happen in the future without any doubt. And my subconscious mind made it happen.
So you made a which point is what happens with that to book. Get her roped into this trip.
Yeah, and she's a Dave fan, and so and we were huge Dave fans in high school. So I thought it was, I didn't realize it was a part of the story till I already invited her, and she goes, "Wow, this is the ultimate fuck you to me in high school for you to like bring me to see you meet him." And the truth is, she did see me meet him because after the show, we got meet and greets. We like stayed up in this area, and the guy that was handing out the wristbands came up to me and gave me and my mom one and did not give Hala one.
Oh my so God.
But the thing was, we were like, I am so conscious of meet and greets because I do them. And I knew Dave was tired and he had been up since probably 4 in the morning that day and had to do a sound check for 2 hours, he said. And it, like, he had a long day. I did not even want to meet him because it's just like, it's too much. And we were, and so I just, I didn't want to add another person to it. And Hala was like, I'm fine. I don't care. Cause Hala don't care anyway. And she was just happy to witness it. And she was, it was as if she met him. She's up there, like right next to us all meeting him. And, but it was, so first of all, I get to the show and I meet Brooklyn Decker cause she's a Dave fan and she's on Dave Matthews Band Radio being interviewed. And then I'm after her. And so we exchanged pleasantries and she's so cute and adorable and was wearing the cutest denim jumper that I wanted to get. And she had like a cropped, like she had a Anya's length hair and it really made me want to get it because I haven't seen that hair on like a tall blonde. Like she kind of has the same kind of body type as me. She would probably be offended if I said that, but I could kind of blur my eyes and be like, oh, I'd look cute with that hair and 20 pounds thinner. And anyway, so she was really nice. And then I went on air and then Ari, the guy who runs the channel, was like, so we're going to intro Dave tonight. And I was like, what? And he was like, I think it'd be really cool. And he's just all over the place trying to run the boards and like figure out the timing of the show. And I'm like, well, what are we going to say? And he's like, we're just going to go up there for like 4 minutes before. And Dave doesn't like to. And I go, 4 minutes just vamping? I go, I got to have a plan. And he's like, no, we'll just do it. I'll talk a little bit. I'll bring you up. And I gave him specific instructions how to bring me up. Because if you don't know, when you're bringing someone on stage, like a lot of times, and this might help our listener, if you're ever introducing someone at a conference or like at a meeting, at a work function in front of people, and you're introducing someone, make sure that their name is the last thing you say.
Oh,
God. So this is like a very
great tip.
Nobody really knows this until you start hosting, because I didn't know it, but you just say, hey, are you guys ready for your next performer? Okay. You know them from blah, 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 blah. Please give it up for Nikki Glaser. Yeah. You always say their name
what
last, because if you go, are you guys ready for Nikki Glaser? Okay. Here she is. And then they don't really know when to clap. Like, and you got to save the name for last because you're building
the
anticipation. Yeah.
People go, now welcome Nikki Glaser. You're going to love her. She's going to be great. Like, people do that
and
sometimes.
And then they trail off and people are like, don't know when to actually, at least with a Nikki Glaser, the applause is like, okay, now all together. So I gave him that speech.
I now pronounce
like,
you husband and wife.
Yes.
Aaron, you're going to love them as a couple. And now we're going to do the rings. It's like, what?
Yeah. I'm going to now pronounce Anya and Matt Nikki Glaser. I'm going to make sure to say my name last when I do that. But yeah, it was, so I was really like, because he was so all over the place. I was like, you listen to me right now. You look at me. You say my name last. Okay. It's like, you do not say my name. Or you say it only once and it's the last thing you say. So whatever you say before that, make it. And so he's like, okay. And then he brings me up and I did a few jokes about like, thanks to everyone for braving the apocalypse to be here. If you happen to see like any smoke on the stage, there's not like a smoke machine. Someone just left a door open. Please alert an attendant. So I just like gave a little couple jokes. And then we just were like, and Dave doesn't like to have it be like, and Dave Matthews Band. He doesn't like that. He just likes it to like just gently start. So we were like, are you guys ready for the show? Okay, he'll be out in a second. Yeah. And then we just walked off. And then the show started. And as I'm walking out of the backstage area, he entered from the other side of the stage. So I didn't see him. But as I'm walking out of the backstage area, I could like head back to my seat, but then I saw like there's a gate up like to keep the front row from being like on the stage. So there's like a little area for like cameramen to go. That's pretty much the front row. But then there's a gate behind the front row. Yeah. And I sat on the gate in front of the front row and I just found a little nestled spot. I was 4 feet from Dave Matthews the entire time. He played one of my favorite songs, Grey Street, which if you have ever heard that, it really like, that's a song that gets me through when I'm feeling really depressed. Cause I feel like that girl in that song. And I love when men write songs about women being depressed and anxious. It just really turns me on when they like understand it so much. And that song really, it was just so good. And all the fans are so nice. And they're all the people there were like from DMB radio fan base that won tickets. So they're like ultimate fans. So we were just all singing along and he was struggling with lyrics to one part. And we were all just like helping out. And it was so cool. And he looked so good. And he was so good on guitar. And it was cool to watch him. He's awesome. He looks great. He's never looked better. Yeah. He's never looked better. He's awesome. And Emil and my mom and Hala, who I brought, are all in the back. And I texted them being like, I can't leave the seat. If I leave, I can't get in front of the front row. I'm not even supposed to be here. The security guards are all being nice because they just saw me on stage. So they're like giving me a pass, but I have no right to be where I am. And I'm crouched down because I don't want to make a scene of it.
Right.
And So I texted Emil, like, I can't come back there. Like, I can't give up the spot. Go on without me. And so they just hung out and danced Hala just like danced upstairs. But then after Crush, which is my favorite song of all time, I was like, I can go find Hala and dance with her. So I went to the very back after that because I was like, I got to spend some of this concert with my friend. And we danced to Crash and Don't Drink the Water and some other songs.
Don't Breathe the Air.
Yeah, don't break. Yes. And as we're dancing, this guy comes up to Hala because Hala was dancing the whole time. And I guess he noticed and gives her one of Dave's guitar picks.
Oh, my God. Same as you with Taylor.
Wow.
Which I knew was a Dave guitar pick because I was up close and I saw the guitar picks he was using. And I was very fascinated because I use a very light pick. And I was like, those look like light picks. It was a light pick. And Emil, of all people, was the one to turn me on to light picks because he is a beginning guitar player, too. And he was like, you haven't heard about light picks. Don't do the heavy ones. Use the light ones. And I'm like, light ones changed my life. And my dad always makes fun of me for using light ones because you're not a real guitar player if you use light picks, except Dave uses them because I got one because Hala gave it to me because she's a great friend.
Oh, wow.
She gave me the guitar pick, and then the guy comes back again and gives Hala a set list.
What?
And we go, holy who shit. Is this guy? And so then Hala runs after him to be like, who are you, mystery man? And it's not a big place, so she could. And he's like, I'm Dave's vocal coach. And he's just one of these nice guys that takes it upon himself to find little things, aww, trinkets to give them to fans at the shows, which is must be such a fun thing to do. I did it at a Wilco show when I had an extra set list. I was like, I want to find the biggest Wilco fan that is going to freak out to get the set list. Cause I had the other half of the set list cause it was printed twice and I knew I was excited I was to have it. And so I was like, who am I going to give it to? It's such a fun thing to like pick someone out. So he picked out Hala cause she was dancing like crazy. And I go, oh my God, he's his vocal coach. I go, Hala, wait, go tell him someday might need him. And so she ran back to him and was like, do you know who Nikki Glaser is? And he was like, no. And he was like, one second, let me go get her. So I ran over and talked to him and I was like, I know I am way out of like, I'm a comedian. I was on Masked Singer. I did pretty well in that. I was like, I have a vocal coach already, but who knows down the line what's going to happen? I was like, I do not deserve you, but I can afford you. And I was like, I have the means to hire you if at any point you'd be into that down the line. And he was like, well, you don't want to mix up vocal coaches because they all have different ways of teaching. So you want to stick with one. And I was like, that's a really good point.
Exclusivity rears its ugly head again.
You're right. So anyway, I got his number. And then I'll tell you what happened when we met Dave Matthews after this.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So then, after the show, I am not wanting to meet Dave because I'm like, he's had a long day. The show, he was exhausted during the show. He would get done with the song and be like, oh! And he was like, kept acknowledging that he was tired, but he was also awesome because he was so tired. He was a little bit loopy and people would like yell out things and he would get distracted. He was talking way more than he ever talks, which in the Dave Matthews universe, we call that Dave speak. So he was Dave speaking more than ever, which is just when Dave talks in between songs. And he was being hilarious and he was so fun and he was just loose. And it was great. And but I still was very conscious of, as someone who's been on the other side of meet and greets, even Emil and I were talking about what Dave was possibly doing backstage based on what I'm always doing in between the show and the meet and greet. He was like, he's probably putting back on his high heels and stuffing his face with like a rice cake and smoking a joint and being like, yeah, I'll be on a second. Like, how many are there? Like, okay, that's cool. So do you think there's going to be more than that? Or like, okay. And can you tell them to have their phones ready? Like, we were just like predicting what he would be doing. Even though I enjoy meet and greets very, very much, there, I was just like, I just don't want to make this anymore for him. So I was like, I'll probably just not do one because I don't need to. And then the guys came over and were like, here's your passes. We were like, what? And we should. And there, it wasn't a ton of people. It was like 25 people. Oh, and most everyone else was drunk. I was like, I'm not drunk. I'm not going to talk his head off. I'm going to be so respectful and just get in there and get out. I'm not going to tell him a story about how I love him and in high school. And Ari, the guy from the radio show who I introduced him with, he knew about my Hala story of Hala telling I'd never meet him. And he was like, you got to tell him that. I'm going to tell him that. We'll bring up Hala. And I go, Ari, you listen to me right now. You are not telling him that story. You are not. Because Ari was just tired and overworked. And I was like, and Ari even said to me, shout out to Ari, before the meet and greet, I was like, I really don't think I want to stay for the meet and greet. He's had a long day. I think he should just like, and he goes, what? No, we are not just typical meet and greet. We're not just like fans. And I go, yes, we are. We're actually worse because at least people who are fans and get a meet and greet, they know where they're a fan. Dave is the talent. We have this weird thing where we're like, we're not really like them. Uh-huh. We're like actually cool. And we just want to like hang out with you, which is so much worse than just a normal person being like, nice to meet you. I'm a big fan. That is so much better than someone being like, there's always someone at my meet and greet who waits in the back of the line.
Yeah.
And we've called him out before on the podcast, who thinks they're special and is like, I don't even want a picture. I like just want to like have a conversation with you. And I'm like, that's so much worse than a picture.
They always start with a nag. They're like, I don't even care really about you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. I guess like this just came with my ticket, this meet and greet. Like, it's not even a big deal to
my
me, but I just like
me. I am
not
going
to behave like those people crying to meet you. I'm like, oh, yeah, God forbid you act enthusiastic right now.
Or and industry people that are just like, yes, they walk industry back to the green room with you. You're like, no. This is over now.
Yeah, that's what I said to Ari. I go, you and I are worse you especially, because you are convinced that you're on the same, that industry is convinced they're on the same level as him, and you hang out longer and you don't realize, no offense to Ari, he's awesome. And everyone who works at Sirius at that level is a great hang, and I had a good time with them. But Dave doesn't want to hang out with you. There's just no way. After a show, he wants to hang out with his family.
But I'm so
and his
glad
friends, like,
you stayed, because I'm sure Dave's clocked you in the audience and was like, oh my God, Nikki Glaser.
No, he didn't. There was no clocking. There was no eye contact, which I liked. I don't.
Did he know who you were when
signs?
You met him?
I'm like, don't distract. Wait, I just wanted to say, people that bring signs, even when Taylor Swift walked to the edge of the stage and was singing, I didn't want to like wave at her or go, I love you, because she's singing a song and I don't want to distract her from her song. Mm-hmm. Right. So all I'm trying to do when she walked to the lip of the stage was sing the lyrics that were what she was singing, so that I would help her in some way and not distract. Right. And so Dave is on stage and I don't know some of the songs, because some of the new stuff I don't know. So I was trying not to make eye contact. There was no eye contact to be made. But there was a girl with a sign, and I'm just like, stop. Don't hold signs. Like, mm-hmm. just like little signs, you know, like I don't even know what it said, but it bothered me. But it's all sweet. I mean, we're all just fans trying to get by. But so I did. I wanted to wait in the back of the line because I wanted to, I said, I want to go last because I know the feeling of when the last person you have to meet, yeah. no matter how good the meet and greet was, the last, it's like seeing your car after a hike. You're like, I'm about to get to go take off my shoes. So I wanted to be that last person.
And also, not you just want to have a conversation, not a picture.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't that guy. I wasn't the guy being like, I wanted to take longer with you. It was like, I wanted to be the fastest last person ever. Yeah. I wanted to like buck the system. And so, but Ari was like, no, just get up here. You are not going to wait till the last person. You're Nikki Glaser. And I'm like, I do not say that. He was a little mover and a shaker. So he pulls me to the front and I just like walk up to Dave. They're like, it's Nikki Glaser. And they like lead me to him. And I just go, hi, Dave, I'm the voice of DMB Radio. And he goes, I can't even remember what he said, but based on the footage, it was something like, I know who you are. Come here. And he like grabs me to give me a hug.
For anyone who
goes in for the hug first.
For anyone who does jujitsu, who listens to this podcast, and I know you do, he did an arm drag on her. She reached her arm out to shake his hand, and he like pulled her in and gave her this huge bear hug.
Huge hug. Lasted
long.
3 to 4 seconds.
I saw the video when I saw it, my first thought was, that was a genuine hug. That was a genuine
hug. He knew how much I mattered to him, and he was very, it was so awesome. And it was just like, so I was just trying to like, I mean, you don't understand. Like I don't want to be indecent in talking about this, but he had much to do with my sexual awakening and my whole sexual identity. And like everything was just, I got a rice pellet in my ass yesterday too, to like help with my hormones to make me horny again.
A rice pellet?
Not up my ass. Holla thought I got it up my ass,
not
like in my asshole.
Rice.
No, that would have horned me up. Yeah. No, it's like the size of a rice pellet and it has hormones in it. And it cost me $2,500. I thought I was getting it for free until they were like, it's $2,500. And I was like, okay. So
it's like you put it in your butt.
Don't mean it.
And it,
yeah,
it's like a, what's that called? When you get medicine in your butt?
It's not a suppository because that's up your ass.
They cut your butt cheek.
They cut my butt cheek and slided it. I had no idea.
Does that hurt?
And by the way, I asked no. Yeah, well, they put lidocaine first, so that hurt. A shot of lidocaine in my ass really, really hurt. Wow. And then they carve your ass open. What? I had no idea. I thought it was just like a little, like, they just shoot it in with a, you know, a shot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you're getting a vaccine. And I had no idea that it was like a minor surgery, and it was no stitches or anything. And I was out the door in 5 minutes, but I have a huge bandage on my butt that's like bleeding a lot. And
what?
But in 2 weeks, I'm supposed to start feeling the testosterone kicking in. And
is this done by a doctor?
Again.
Like they know you actually need the testosterone?
Yeah, at a clinic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did blood work back in December, and she was like, you have zero testosterone.
Whoa.
And I was like, what do I do? And she was like, well, we have this pellet thing. And my mom knows about the pellet. She was like, oh, my friend Beth did the pellet and it changed her life. And
the pellet,
I think I have to get it every 6 months though. And it's $2,500. Yeah.
Who cares? Well, so
this, is this the reason for your recent spate of
your dry spell
or whatever you want to call it?
The testosterone is, the lack of testosterone is absolutely.
I bet you're
going to
be humping everything. I heard from my friend, like, it made her so horny.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, maybe, but this Dave thing, I was.
Did that awaken
so,
the beast?
It didn't awaken. Humping I was not indecent. I felt rejuvenated because he looked so good.
Yeah.
And he was so masculine and singing songs about love. Like, I felt a love in my heart and like a resurgence of like my womanhood.
He's like an animal. Then, like that video you sent the girls chat. He's like sweating and like, and you're just like, I cannot not imagine what this person looks like in bed. Like, he's clearly an animal.
And he's always got
I just love the way he plays guitar. Yeah, he does.
His final wrist thought. Is like so loose.
Oh, the way he played guitar, I was obsessed with. It looked like his hand was made of jelly. Yeah. Like, and my hand's always like, and it made me realize you just have to be very like casual. I was studying. It was really cool to be up close as someone who's just trying to learn how to play rhythmic guitar and study him and like see that what I thought, what his fingers stylings on the fretboard are insane, and his fingers do things that like my fingers would take years to learn those shapes and to be able to stretch in those ways. But his strumming, very simple, very cool, and like almost like he's playing drums, but like I always thought he was like so intricate, but I was studying it from the angle I was studying it from, and I was like, oh, it's actually very simple strumming. But the rest, the things he's doing along the fretboard are very, very complex. So I was, heartened to see some of that. And I'm like so excited to attempt some of those songs today because I was like, oh, I think I can get some of these.
This was the second time you've met him, correct?
Yeah.
So how did it compare with the first time?
I mean, 1,000 times better because the first one, it wasn't ideal. I just like said too much and I like kind of cried a little bit and then I was in a room alone with him for a listening session and the whole funky, this funky story. Oh, yeah. I think I've told this before, but he offered to play a song next from his album. We were at a listening party in a small room. So I've been closer to him than I was last night, 4 feet from him. I was 1 foot from him for an hour listening to his new album 4 years ago. And yeah, he was like, we got one more song to play. You guys want to hear something, a little sad or something a little funky. And I had been holding in my energy the whole time because I'm just trying to keep it cool because I'm losing my mind. And it just decided to come out in that moment. And I was like, funky. And I said it way too loud. And it like hurt everyone's ears in the room. Like it was a small conference room. And Baba Booey, who is there from the Howard Stern show, he behind me reaches forward and just puts a calming hand on my shoulder to like just sedate me a little bit because he knew that my energy was like weirding everyone out in the room. And then Dave went on and did not play a funky song. No one else volunteered a suggestion. He gave us two options and he played the other one. And then I couldn't have that be the last time he remembered me. So afterwards I followed him out and was like, I always knew I was going to meet you. That's why you're the reason I ever did comedy, because I wanted to get in the same sphere as you. And I said the word sphere a lot. It was like, it was humiliating. And he just seemed like overwhelmed by it and didn't know who I was. And this was much better because then after we took a picture together, then my mom gets in the picture and he takes a picture with her and me, and then at the end it was like all the serious people, not that I'm affiliated with them, but I am the voice of Dave Matthews Band Radio, so they were like, Nikki, get in too. And I was on the edge and they were like, no, Nikki, get in the middle. And I was like, I'll crouch. And Dave crouched down next to me put his face flush with mine, so I had Dave Matthews' face touching
get
mine
out of here
right next to it. Like, wow. It was like the most intimate, like, and I was able to in that moment stop time and just realize that I am millimeters from kissing this man. It was just like, it was very thrilling for a young Nikki Glaser, a 17-year-old Nikki Glaser back then, of just like, our faces are touching. Like, this is the closest you can get to someone. And we held it for a while because of the picture. And he was being funny because I was the only one crouching. So he was like, I'll crouch with her and just face next to mine. Oh, it was so, God. And I was like, I mean, we That's left my mom and Hala and Emil. We couldn't get over it. We were like, that was the most insane. It was just so fun. And to see Taylor Swift and Dave Matthews in 1 week that close, it took a lot of effort, I have to say, a lot of flying, a lot of sleeplessness, a lot of money being spent, a lot of money not being made. But it was obviously so worth it. And I just have to do more things like this. I love going to shows. I love.
Well, the part of the story you left out was that when Dave hugged you that close, he whispered in your ear, "Funky."
I remember you.
I remember.
He did say, "He did, nice to see you," you know, the LA thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no way. I think he just knows me. He contextualizes me in some way other than that. There's no way he remembers me from Funky and Spheres.
Right.
There's no way.
Funky Spheres.
I wasn't the same person, and that he would not have been excited to see that person
Funky
again,
Spheres so. Sounds like a name of a Dave song.
It's their new album. Oh my God. Anyway, that's my Dave story. Sorry for a short podcast today, guys. This is all we can give you, but we'll be back next week with full length episodes. Don't even worry about it. We love you. Thank you for listening. Come see us this weekend in Sarasota, Florida, West Palm Beach. And we got a lot more tour dates. Just announced I'm going to Chicago, Peoria, New Jersey, Calgary, Napa, Wheatland, California. Where the fuck is that? San Francisco, San Diego, Riverside, Lawrence, Kansas, Boston, Massachusetts, Baltimore, Maryland, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, Rehoboth, Atlantic City, Portland, Oregon, Rama, Ontario, Munhall, Pennsylvania, Detroit, Michigan, Denver, Colorado. Holy fuck.
Wow.
You can get those tickets now, NikkiGlaser.com. I can't wait to see you all there. Thank you for listening. Don't be jack off.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.